On page 326, you'd like to have Turner have that ready. This morning, there's a number gone, as you probably all can see and know. And some of those wondered if I would continue the series on the Ten Commandments when they were here. So I decided what I would do today. Rather than continue that series, I'd pick up another idea to share with you. It's entitled Kindness. I guess we're all hooked up. Yeah, okay. It's entitled Kindness, a way of expressing our love. And I hope it's a message this morning that will touch your heart, because it's definitely something that God wants us to have, an attribute, whatever you might want to say, possession that God wants us to have in our lives, a way of expressing our love. Now, the text for today's lesson is found in the book of Colossians chapter 3, and verses 12 through 17. Now, rather than read from the screen, I'm going to go and read it from my Bible. It's the New American Standard, yes. And that's what mine is. Colossians chapter 3, and verse 12. And now take special note of these words that are here, because this is definitely something that was given to Paul as he was writing to the Colossian people that God wanted them to get, but also at the same time, it's something that applies to us as well. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. He says, "And so, as those who have been chosen of God," now aren't we the chosen of God? "Those of us who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all of these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." Now notice that last verse. "And whatever you do, in work or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." Now that's a very special message to us. Everything that we do, we're to do it in an attitude of thankfulness, as well as if we were doing it for him. The key, I believe, to having a better marriage, or to have a better home, or for the church to be better, is bound in this one word, bound up in this one word, which is kindness. You see, successful human relationships are not dependent upon the color of the skin. It's not dependent upon our station in life. It's not dependent upon our education level, or money, or lack of it. Now, I know that to be true because I work with people from different ethnic backgrounds. Everything from people who are from Norway and Sweden and that part of the world, to Saudi Arabia, to Indonesia, to Africa, to Spain, France. I work with them all. The Philippines. And the one thing that enables everyone there to get along with each other is dependent upon how we respect one another, and how we treat one another. And one of the things that's very prevailing, especially with those who are from the Philippines or that part of the world, is that they demonstrate an attitude of kindness. And sometimes they even go overboard with that kindness. They live it. Ask my wife how many times she's made me a lunch. Because one of the ladies there, usually the Filipino ladies, but sometimes some of the others, is always bringing in food for everyone. And most of these people have different ideas about God. And the whole thing about it, though, is not necessarily what they feel about God, but what they feel about other people and how they want to treat them and how they want to be treated. And this one thing, all mankind responds to this word kindness. And it opens the heart of just about every person. Love and kindness will solve just about any human relationship problem that we're struggling with today. And God knew this. So we find Him saying in our text, be kind to one another. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering and patience, and bear with each other and forgive each other. Well, why would He say that? Because, you see, our marriages can be great marriages. Our homes can be great homes. Our church can be a great church. Our friendships and fellowship circles can be tremendous ones and can be a real joy if we practice what He asked us to practice in our text today. Now, when kindness rules in the heart of everyone who participates, when that rules in the heart, you see lives change. I've seen attitudes of people who, when they first came into the area in which I work, be an attitude sometimes of real arrogance. And I've seen that change with just the way they were treated and respected, even though maybe there was things there that people didn't agree with. They'd just back off and say, think about it. How much better off we'd all be if we did pursue after human kindness. With the same intensity that many people pursue money. Or with the same intensity that people pursue material things. Or with the same intensity that people pursue pleasure. Brothers and sisters, if we're going to have a good relationship with one another, whether it be at home or in the church, we're going to have to work at it. And we're going to have to be diligent about it. At being kind to one another. Not just a half-hearted thing, but make an effort to show that. And that's one thing I noticed at work, is that there is that diligence to show that kind of respect and honor to one another. Of course, if it's not there, somebody becomes a bad apple, they don't last very long, and maybe that's another thing that pursues it. But nonetheless, the point is, it does happen. And I've seen it happen in the world, and I know it can happen with us. But we also must remember that kindness is not something that's an automatic virtue. It's a discipline. It's something that we have to work at. Like love, we can't easily define kindness, but we can certainly see it in action. Now, Webster says, kindness is a demonstration of love and goodwill toward others. And Jesus taught that kindness is the golden rule in practice. You see, He said, treat others as you would have them treat you. And in the Greek, kindness is our benevolence. It's defined as our benevolence to one another, or some good that we do for another. Now, when we put that word into practice, God's demonstration of kindness was the gift of Jesus. Okay? He showed us His kindness by giving His Son and allowing His Son to die for us, even though we did not deserve it. Why? Because He loved us, because He cared, and He wanted us to spend eternity with us, with Him. You see, kindness is love in action. Listen to what the Bible says about kindness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says that love is kind. Now, each of these thoughts that I'm going to share with you from that is taken directly from 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter on love. For instance, kindness never raises its voice. Kindness always shows concern. Kindness is courteous. Kindness does the unexpected and the unsolicited. Kindness keeps secret. Kindness protects reputations. It never speaks all of its mind. Never promotes embarrassment. It shows appreciation. It is always dressed in humility. It always prefers and honors one another. And it always, always enriches the one who bestows it. In other words, if you show kindness, and the way you're showing love, and when you show this kindness and this love, it's going to benefit you. Notice with me three reasons. Now, this is what I want to share with you this morning. Three reasons why we should be kind to one another besides all those things that I just mentioned. Okay? We should show kindness to one another because it's an attribute of God. Okay? Is God mean to us? Is He unkind to us? I don't think so. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16, it says, as obedient children, do not be conformed. Do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you to be holy yourselves, also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. In other words, don't be conformed to the way you were. Be like me. You see, God wants us to conform to His image. Now, I know that that's something we all know, but it's hard for us to get it up here. We all know it, but we seem to have a problem getting it up here. And in Romans, he says, renew that thinking cap. Get it so that you understand what I really want from you. And he wants us to become more like him. And what is God? God is love. This is his greatest characteristic, and he demonstrates his love and kindness toward us. He loves us in spite of who we are. He loves us in spite of what we've done. He loves us in spite of the way we conduct our lives. He loves us in spite of anything that we do as people who should be his. He loves us. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17, he says, thou art a God of what? Forgiveness, graciousness, compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. Now there is a point, and it's true, there is a point in which God gives up. And then it says he turns us over to a reprobate mind that we might believe a lie. But it takes a lot. It takes a lot for us to get there. Because he's slow to anger. And he abounds in such love. Now notice those last words are abounding in loving kindness. David says in Psalms 117, verse 2, he says, his loving kindness is great toward us. It's great toward us. He abounds in it, and it's great toward us. Why do we tend, and I'm not saying we all do, maybe just a small percentage, but there are those who tend to just throw it out the window as if it means nothing. Think about this. How can we see God's kindness toward us? One of the first things that came to mind for me was the fact that I'm alive and the fact that I have the capacity to enjoy life. It shows His kindness. You know, if it wasn't for God allowing me to live, I'd be gone. Secondly, His kindness is shown in providing all that I need or that we need. His kindness is shown in providing all of our daily blessings. We see His kindness in salvation. The fact that we can be saved from this perverse generation. The fact that we can spend eternity with Him if we so choose. We also see His kindness in the spiritual blessings that He's given to us. We also see His kindness in His desire and willingness to live in us and with us and for us. And, most of all, we see his kindness and his desire and willingness to live. Whoops, the next one. And the promise of heaven. We see his kindness in the promise of heaven. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the day that I can go and spend eternity with him. But I'm not looking forward to so much to the fact that I tend to forget what he has yet for me to do here. And so, brothers and sisters, he wants us to demonstrate a love. He wants us to demonstrate kindness and to be like him. The question is, do we really want to do it? In Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7, it says, "When the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us. Not on the basis of the deeds that we have done in righteousness." He didn't say anything I've done. "But according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Yes, to me, that demonstrates that God is kind. And the question is, am I going to take advantage of what he's done for me? Am I going to be more like him? Am I going to work at trying to be more like him? Okay, so that's the first thing that we can do, is understand that kindness is an attribute of God and it's something he wants in our lives. Secondly, kindness produces joy in the one who gets it. It produces joy in the one who gives it. I can be a much happier person. I can be downcast too. But if I start demonstrating what he demonstrated toward me and all mankind, I can be a much happier person. We should be kind to one another because God made us in such a way that we should show this loving kindness to others. And when we do it, we receive the blessing. Now don't miss this point, brothers and sisters. Genuine happiness, genuine joy, and living the blessed life is not found in our bank accounts. It's not found in the abundance of things that we have or own. It's not found in our popularity. It's not found in any political clout or anything of that nature. It's found by showing kindness and how we treat others. You see, God created us for relationships. And it's in relationships that we find real happiness. Why is it that so many spend a lifetime trying to prove God wrong and thinking, well, I'll just be happy if I have X dollars in the bank, or if I own a home, or if I have this or I have that? And when we look at the people who are rich and famous in this world, quote unquote, we don't see very many happy people. Those who have given their lives over to Christ, yes, more so than those who have not. But many of them are not happy people. They have everything that they should want, but they're still not happy people. And we have an example in the Bible in the fact of Solomon. He said at the end of his life that everything that he had was vanity. It was empty. And he said, my whole duty should have been to serve God and keep his commandments. You know, living like the world, and living as the world would have us live, is frustrating. And so my encouragement to all is don't pursue after it. Give it up. Pursue that which is going to be real, bring real joy into your life, and that's kindness, and to seek better relationships. Jesus points us to God's example in our relationship with others, even with our enemies. Now, this is a hard one. It's been a hard one for me to get a hold of all of my life. But this is what he wants. And so I'm going to share that scripture with you, too. It's found in Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 31. Now, this is Jesus talking. And he says, "I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Now that's hard to do. And I'll have to be the first one to admit it's been very difficult for me to love those who consider themselves to be my enemy or who hate me. Now, there's not very many people that I know of that do, but what I'm trying to say is there's been times in my life where I've had to face issues that I didn't want to face and be the kind of person that God wanted me to be. And I didn't want to do it. Now, if we go on to verses 35 through 36, let's just see what it says here. Again, it says, love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be, what? The sons of the Most High. Do I want to be anything else? I want to be the son of the Most High. That's for sure. I don't want to spend eternity with Satan. I want to spend it with God. And so I have to learn to love those who dislike me. Now, he says, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. You know, when he was being drug up on that cross and taken out to be crucified, did he retaliate? He could have. He said he could have, but he didn't. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. He loves us in spite of who and what we are. And sometimes, like I said, I find that myself hard to understand, but I know that that's what he wants us to do. And so I ask God constantly to help me to love people that it's very hard to love. Brothers and sisters, if we want to cultivate better personal relationships, we're going to have to follow his example. Genuine happiness, if we do, genuine happiness will result. Now Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, he says, the pursuit of riches, the love of money, brings all sorts of hurt, brings all sorts of sin, which word you want, evil, and unhappiness into our lives. But we know that if we pursue kindness, it produces joy. If we pursue that which God wants us to pursue, it's going to bring happiness and joy into our lives. Okay, now the third reason we should pursue happiness or kindness is that we should be kind because it's beneficial to others. It is true. Kindness influences others when nothing else will. And that's one thing I found out at work, is that kindness does produce results. Again, Jesus is our example. Why do you suppose Jesus influenced many during his lifetime and continues to influence many 2,000 years later? What is it that creates that kind of thing? Great stories about Jesus center on his act of kindness. Now, many of these, as I told you, the ethnic backgrounds that I work with, people, they know these stories. I didn't have to share them with them. But they knew Jesus fed the multitudes. They knew that he healed the sick. He knew about his treatment of the sinners. He knew about his time spent with children, and so on, family. And we can see his kindness at Jacob's well. Some of them did. They remember that story. With Zacchaeus, most did. With the adulterous woman, lepers, the blind, the thief on the cross, the soldiers who crucified him, they all saw this. They saw his attitude towards his mother and the apostles. Now, how did they do that? How did that happen? Well, I think it's because of the Holy Spirit. And yes, we see his kindness and his willingness to forgive and save us. Yes, brothers and sisters, we ought to be kind simply because of the beneficial effort he has on others around us. Jesus influenced many, and we can too. And most of all, it can affect our relationships with our mates, with our children, and our brothers and sisters. Now, how do we do this, though? How do we demonstrate that kindness? Well, first of all, we must eliminate the make-believe. How many people have demonstrated kindness? You think about this in your mind. How many times have you demonstrated kindness to someone in a make-believe way? That sounds like the world. The world says, me first. Whatever benefits me, I'll do. What I want, how I feel, is more important than what others want and what others feel. And the world goes on to say many times, you'd better do it to them before they do it to you. And the world studies and trains in things like intimidation, manipulation, and being assertive. Now these characteristics are viewed as real virtues in our economy and in our culture. But as you know and I know, they're not Jesus-like characteristics. They are anti-Christian and non-biblical pursuits. So make-believe is a non-biblical pursuit. You see, Jesus was humble. He was vulnerable. He was open. And he was willing to be taken advantage of. Why? For the benefit of others. And that's where we need to be. We need to be genuine in our love and our kindness towards others. But many times, some little thing happens within the family, or in our homes, or maybe here at church, and we mull over these hurts. And maybe it's in a conversation. We mull over that conversation, or maybe it's some incident that happens, until we make a mountain out of a molehill. Is that what Jesus wants? Does he want us to get to the point where we want to take revenge and retaliate? I don't believe so. Because he could have many times, and he chose not to. You see, this kind of thinking, this kind of behavior kills kindness. And it kills your walk for the Lord. Many people are living unhappy lives, people who claim to be Christians because they're always dealing in these make-believe type of attitudes, really, rather than the real thing. Jesus is asking us to stop it. He's asking us to be genuine. He's asking us to show and demonstrate what he did. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, he says, love takes no thought. Love takes no thought of evil done to it, real or imaginary. Okay, secondly, what is the second thing that we can do? We must be willing to take time to be kind. First of all, get rid of the make-believe stuff, and then have the willingness to take time to be kind. There's no doubt that kindness, tenderness, compassion take time and effort. People in a hurry are seldom kind. This is the reason for road rage. You ever seen that? When you've been out on the road, people just do some crazy things. And I've responded sometimes with wanting to blow them off the road. I know that's wrong, but nonetheless, that's what happens. There's road rage. You see that? I'm in a hurry, get out of my way. This is the reason for discourteousness in ticket lines, or in the checkout lanes, or at gas pumps, or at sporting events, and the list can go on and on. People are in a hurry, and they're very seldom kind. You see, we can get into that too. It's possible for us to get so wrapped up in a job, so wrapped up in a hobby, so wrapped up in a sport, or whatever it might be in this life, and sometimes even in our religion, that we have no time to show kindness to our brother or sister that need it. Take time. Take time to be kind. We need to ask ourselves, frequently, we need to ask ourselves a question, is it possible for me to get so busy doing whatever I may be involved in that I forget to be like Jesus? Is it? In the great sheep and goat judgment of Matthew chapter 25, verses 32 through 36, those who were ushered into the everlasting joy of the Lord were those who took time to be kind. It says, and all the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate them one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he'll put on, and he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in, and naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Now, all of those things that he mentioned, don't they take time? It takes time to feed the hungry. Now, we don't know too many hungry people, but there are people right in this country who are hungry. Are we doing anything to help them? A lot of countries, they don't ever see us. Three square meals, they're lucky to see one. Just south of the border, or in the Dominican Republic, or in Africa. Some of these people that I work with tell me about the situation, and a lot of their money is going home just to feed their family. It takes time to give the thirsty something to drink. It takes time to clothe the poor. It takes time to visit and pray for the sick as well as those who are shut in some way. You have taken time to visit those who are lonely, those who are in need of fellowship, who just can't get out for one reason or another, are to be commended for your acts of kindness. They need it, and they appreciate it. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, verse 40, he said, "Whoever does it to the least of these, you do it to me." Welcome into the joys of your Lord. So when we show kindness, we do our best to show love to those who are really in genuine need. We're doing it for God. Think about that. And when judgment comes, there's going to be those who would wish they had taken time to be more kind. So we need to really be considerate of where we are in our walk with the Lord. Are we making believe, or are we demonstrating kindness? Okay, number three. Kindness is making an effort to understand others. In the 70s, a man by the name of Joe South recorded a hit song. It's entitled "Walk a Mile in My Shoes." Any of you remember that song? "Walk a Mile in My Shoes." It was a song about understanding others and the fact that until we place ourselves in their shoes, until we experience their pain, until we experience their heartache, their misfortune, until we cry their tears, then we're not going to likely be able to help them. We need to be there to see what they're going through. You see, genuine New Testament kindness means that we as the leadership, or we as deacons, we as teachers, just plain Christian people, anyone who claims to be a member of the body of Christ, until we become sensitive to those who are hurting around us, until we make an effort to understand and do our best to try to help, until we reach out to them, we're not demonstrating the kindness of God. Along with this, we need to keep our communication line open. This is important in all areas of human relationships. Very frequently, because the communication lines are closed, families grow further apart. And I experienced that yesterday in Joe's wedding. I was speaking with several members of the family, and I don't want to go into all the details, but it's sad. The sad situation that's taken place in that family, and it was such a close family when I first met them, and it's because there's no longer a line of communication between parents and children, or children and children. And so they're not solving their problems. I don't even know if they're praying for one another. And so families grow further apart when there's no communication. Husbands and wives fail to solve their problems because there's no communication. When there's communication, when there's talking and sharing, anything can be resolved. But when one party or the other shuts up, it just makes it difficult. Friendships fall apart because there's no communication. church is split because we're not talking to one another. And so, brothers and sisters, my encouragement to you is not only the church, but whatever situation you're in, keep talking. Keep trying to talk. Spouses, if nothing more than that, you could be praying. Asking God to show you the words to say, or give you the words to say, or show you what you can do. Parents and children, talk to one another. Spouses, share your thoughts with one another. Church members, keep sharing and talking with one another. Friends, keep talking and sharing. Basically, it comes down to one thing, that kindness is in trouble when we stop communicating and when we stop demonstrating what God has asked us to do. Part of the problem that we see today is that too many of us are found talking to one another about one another rather than praying for one another. When we're talking about one another in a derogatory way, this is gossip. It's not kindness. And gossip gets in the way of kindness. So talk to each one personally. Pray with each one. If they don't want to pray with you, if they don't want to talk with you, then commit it to God and just keep praying. If you have something against the leadership, if you have something against the deacons, if you have something against the brother, whatever it may be, talk to them. But if you can't talk and they won't talk, pray for them. If we have something that's between us and a brother or sister, we need to talk. We need to share. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, in verses 15 through 17, go to him or her and discuss the sin, discuss the problem in private, just between the two of you. And then he gives some further things that we need to do beyond that if they don't listen. But that's the first step. But we also do it with loving kindness. Why? Because this is the way of kindness. Any other way only serves to inhibit our fellowship. It inhibits our being kind to one another. Then, the last thing I can share with you for you to demonstrate kindness is that we must be mindful of the little things. Kindness is best demonstrated in those little small things. Solomon said, little foxes spoil the wine. Small gestures toward others spell the difference between carelessness and genuine kindness. For instance, show me a husband that helps around the house, just doing the little things, and you'll see a spouse who really appreciates you. Or so the other way. Anything that you do as a wife to help your husband, you'll see a husband that's very appreciative. The same way between mother and children, or father and children, or in the church. Just little things that can help a brother out really makes a difference in our fellowship and in our kindness and love to one another. A woman pressed a rose between the folded hands of her husband, whose body lay cold in the coffin. And someone was overheard saying, that was probably the only rose she ever gave him. How sad that would be if that's true. After they're gone, we show those little acts of kindness. How often the flowers of kindness are given too late to those that we love the most. There was a poem written, and I want to share that with you. It says, I have wept in the night for the shortness of sight, that to the needs of others made me blind, but I never have yet had cause to regret for being a little too kind. Yes, kindness is a supreme good. It's a miracle worker. And God asks us to shower it on one another. And the question is, are we doing it, and are we going to do it? Now, in conclusion, our time's running out. Let's close with this thought. God has demonstrated his love. He's shown his kindness to us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. It was because of his grace. It was because of his tremendous love for all mankind. Christ died for us. Now the question is, for each of us to think about and respond to, How are we going to respond to his loving kindness? Yes, we need to respond by becoming Christians. That's true. But it's more than that. We need to respond by showing our appreciation in the way we conduct our lives after we've been baptized into Christ. Think about this next question for a moment. Do you want to wear the badge of guilt that comes when you or others are lost by your actions? Do you want to wear that badge of guilt? I sure don't. I don't want to wear the badge of guilt at all. But some may. Someday we are going to stand before the judgment seat of Jesus. How do we want the record to read? Lord, I showed all the kindness that I could. Or, Lord, I tried. Or, Lord, I couldn't. Or, I didn't want to. How do you want the record to read? The Word of God gives us a promise. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We believe that? Amen. Do you believe it? We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And so, if that's true, will we take his acts of loving kindness and pass them on to the others around us? Or will we ignore him and do nothing? And so my encouragement to you this morning, if you have not already done so, or you've been slack in doing so, respond to God's loving kindness and do something. Show the world around us that we love them in spite of what they are. That may be hard, but that's what he's asked us to do. The song that's been selected, I guess I didn't bring a songbook up with me. It was found on page 326. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling on you and for me.
Our church. The leaders in the church do not remain leaders forever. And others need to be prepared to take their place. Leaders are not created overnight. We need to do what is necessary to prepare ourselves and our children to continue the work of the Lord. In closing, I would just like to read the last part of Ephesians 6:4. And he's talking here about how we are with respect to raising our children. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Thank you.